Michael Smith, 41 games already in the books for the NHL season. So you know what that means.
41 left to go?
That's right. Welcome to episode 24 of the Canes Cast with the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
And again, that is growing acceptance.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Yeah,
I hope you're okay with it because it's out there now.
I love it, actually. I got it a lot at Skate with the Canes
other
day, so that was good. Hey, it's TV's Mike Maniscalco.
There you go.
Hey, there we go.
It's all good. It's taken on a life of its own.
I'm hoping that the Web's Michael Smith catches on for you a little bit.
We'll see.
It's popped up a little bit on the old Twitter.
At least, I think this indicates that at least some people are listening to this, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
So that's good.
Yeah, I'm very good with this. And as you just found out, Michael Smith, great with numbers, here as episode 24 of the Canes Cast, halfway home.
Yes.
So that's where we're at. 41 games played for the Carolina Hurricanes at the time of this recording.
Or halfway there, as John Bon Jovi once said.
I'm not going to go there. Sorry. Sorry, Bon Jovi fans. You're not going to get me in on that one. But what do we know about this team through the halfway point of the season, through 41 games? They've looked like a playoff team, and then there are the Toronto and Boston games. But for me, I think that we know that the core is there to be a playoff team, but what are the foundations, Michael, that you've seen, like, night in, night out? This is what I know about the Carolina Hurricanes through the halfway point of the season.
Well, yeah, I think it's a perfect opportunity to sort of step back and assess the big picture of everything with half of the season down and half of the season to go. Kind of feels like the season just started yesterday, but then again, it's also kind of hard to believe that there's still 41 games left in the season. It's kind of a weird point that I think we're at. But the Hurricanes, just a point out of a playoff spot at the midway point of the season. I guess the thing to bear in mind there is they have three games in hand on the Pittsburgh Penguins. We've been over the games in hand thing. And the Hurricanes have already beat the Penguins twice this season.
That, I think, to me is the bigger thing.
Yeah, so a point out of a playoff spot at the midway point of the season. I think in terms of that picture, the playoff picture, the Hurricanes are in exactly the position they want to be. They've been in the NHL's best division, most competitive division all year long. And it's basically a fight, you know, of those five remaining Metro teams for the two wild card spots. The Atlantic isn't really sniffing any of those just yet. And so the Hurricanes are in a good position. They put themselves in a good position, and they've done so through a number of ways. I think you've seen the emergence of Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen as two elite skill sets on this team, and we'll get to Sebastian Aho in a minute. He suffered an injury in Boston on Saturday night.
Lower body.
Seems to be good news. We'll touch more on that in a minute. But I think you've seen those two. Those two have unbelievable chemistry. And when they play in the middle with Jordan Staal in the middle, who's a big body, they can hang on to pucks in the offensive zone. They can make plays. I think you've seen Teravainen emerge as a goal scorer. He still thinks of himself as a playmaker first. But we've seen just what a sneaky good shot he has. Sebastian Aho, again, didn't find the back of the net until November, just as he did in his rookie season, but since then has been on quite a tear, and even before then was at least putting up assists. So those two leading the way for the Hurricanes offense. Of course, Jeff Skinner also finding the back of the net with regularity. They've gotten offensive contributions from the areas that you'd like them to get on offensive contributions from. I think the defense has been sort of a mixed bag, and I think when you look at this team as a whole, it's been a bit inconsistent.
Yeah,
but we'll get back to that in a minute as well. And I think the goaltending has been pretty good. I think Scott Darling, it's been a transition, you know, for him, but he's had some good games. Cam Ward has had a brilliant stretch as of late, if you throw out what happened in Boston the other night. But all good things so far that have put the Hurricanes in a pretty good position to just stay competitive and keep an eye on a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think for me, I can echo everything that you just said. Consistency is the one thing that has been missing from this team, because when we think they're ready to turn the corner, there seems to be that one step back. But as opposed to years past, Michael, when we think that one step back is really going to turn into two or three, the Canes have been able to turn it around. So I think this is a more resilient group than what's been in Raleigh in some time, just because there's a different kind of feel in the locker room. And I think a lot of that comes from Justin Williams. And for me, I think he's been a great addition to this team. Everybody likes to measure players on the hard stats that we grew up with, goals, assists, and points, and now fancy stats where I need somebody to be able to decipher Jackson Pollock pictures for me to tell me what they mean. But those are things that you can, I guess, sort of put an ethereal finger on, or ethereal. I'll get the word right if I'm going to go there. Yeah. You're welcome very much. But Justin Williams has brought a lot to this team. I mean, even at practice today, he's right. The guy going, come on, boys, let's have a little bit of emotion out here. Let's let it get going. Let's do what we got to do here.
And just for context, you know, we're recording this on Monday, as most episodes are. The Hurricanes were only on the ice for about 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Maybe. Peter said they got through 6 of 7 drills. I don't think he was very pleased with the effort. Justin Williams was one of the ones to speak up and say, you know, let's put some emotion into this. I don't think Peters was completely pleased with the effort in practice today, got the team off the ice, and they'll probably get back on the ice tomorrow morning in Tampa Bay looking for a bit more of jump before facing a really good team in the Lightning.
But through 41 games, this is the closest the Canes have been to being a playoff team in some recent memory during a full season of hockey.
Right.
And I'm with you. I think the goaltending has been good. I think Scott Darling, if he could just find the consistency switch and flip it to on.
Yeah, again, I mean, the consistency, that's a word that we're going to talk about often, it seems.
I think defensively people are going to look at the numbers of Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce and think, well, oh, they're behind from last year. But defensively, they're just as good as they were. Ask Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby if Slavin and Pesce are not as good of a combination this year as last year. And I think they'll give you a couple of answers. The Finns have been great. They really have. Take a look quietly at the season Jordan Staal is put together in between those two players, between two Finns, as we like to call it. So from the halfway point, I think that the Canes are ahead of pace from last year. I don't know if they're on the schedule they want to be on, because the grind of the Metro, the hockey season's a grind to begin with, and the Metro division is even worse, because it seems every night somebody's making points on you. Somebody's getting a point somewhere. And, you know, heck, we saw it the other night. Looked like Pittsburgh was going to get just absolutely run by Boston after Pittsburgh jumped out to a start, which our John Forslund called the game on NBC Sports Network. But I thought this game was over. And then Pittsburgh comes back and finds a way to get 2 points. And, oh, by the way, Boston gets a point too, which I'm actually going to start peeking over at the Atlantic, because the way the schedule makers set it up, Michael, you and I both know February, March, it's division plays division. So if somebody like Montreal or Florida can beat up on the lesser lights of the Atlantic division, maybe they can all of a sudden sneak in and be a factor for that fifth playoff spot, that second wild card spot.
The Metropolitan Division is such a dogfight that you can win a game and jump from last place in the division to a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. That's how incredibly competitive and tightly packed it is right now. You look at the standings, Carolina has 46 points. They're a point out of a wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia also with 46 points, and the Islanders also with 46 points. So any of those teams win a game, and you know, if Pittsburgh doesn't gain any points, and they leapfrog right into a wild card spot. So that's how insanely competitive it's been all season. The division is just, it's the toughest in the NHL. It's the best in the NHL. And the Hurricanes are right there in the thick of it. And that's a good spot to be in at this halfway point, because if they haven't been keeping pace with the division, they would be sunk by now.
All right, first half highlights for you. Is there a game, a moment, a player that stands out for you? For me, first half highlights, as far as games go, we just saw it in game number 40 in Pittsburgh. I think that was game 40, because 41 was Boston. So, and 41 didn't happen in my mind. I'm still waiting to play that game. But game 40 in Pittsburgh, that was the game highlight, because the Hurricanes just took Pittsburgh out behind the woodshed. That is as close to a perfect game that you can play on the road that the Hurricanes played. It was one of the most beautiful goals you're going to see of the year. The tic-tac-toe passing for Teuvo Teravainen's goal.
Yeah.
You saw Sebastian Aho continue to do what he's doing. The defense was great, shutting down Crosby and Malkin. So that game, to me, is a highlight game. I think, for me, the player is Cam Ward. What we've seen Cam Ward do from November all the way until right now, mid-November until right now, and you can't throw out the Boston game, but that's going to happen. He's been great with the editor's note, Sebastian Aho as well, who I think should be the Canes' all-star representative. And even better news, skating fully at practice today after that awkward fall into the boards against the Boston Bruins. So Sebastian Aho looks to be healthy, as Mike's already covered on this one here today on Canes Cast episode 24, halfway home.
Though Bill Peters did caution that with he got mixed reviews after practice.
From the doctors, yeah.
But we'll see tomorrow, you know, how Aho responds to this practice today, because this was the first real on-ice test for him, obviously, since Saturday night in Boston. They didn't do really any vigorous stuff at Skate with the Canes on Sunday.
And the other highlight to me was the end of that 13-day, six-game road trip. The win in Vegas, where nobody wins, and Cam Ward gets his 300th win, but no road team seemed to win this year. They follow it up, and they beat Buffalo with an overtime performance where all hell breaks loose in the third period there. And then Scott Darling is magnificent, where you're like, okay, it's set up for the wall to come down on this team here, and they beat Columbus 2-1. The next night, after ending a 13-day road trip, they have to play, at the time, the number one team in the Metro Division. So that's a stretch that stands out for me. You got anything you want to add?
No, yeah. I quickly on that Pittsburgh game, I mean, you mentioned it. It was, I thought, a pretty tight first period, pretty even first period back and forth. And the Hurricanes, the Penguins could have just as easily come out strong in the second and maybe jumped out on the Hurricanes quick, and that would have been that. But the Hurricanes came out and really just, you know, got on the Penguins. Defensively limiting them to single-digit shots each of the three periods. I think
five in the first and I think seven in the second.
Yeah, and they only had a handful up until like the last half or so of the second period.
They finished
period.
With 21 shots on goal.
Yeah, so Cam Ward didn't have a lot to see, but when he did see shots, he obviously made the saves. first shutout in 32 career games against the Penguins, believe it or not.
Which, by the way, the Hurricanes have only had three shutouts against the Penguins. The last one was Kevin Weeks. And it was a 21-save shutout in a 4-0 win for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Wow.
And all of the shutouts came in Pittsburgh.
That drop in knowledge here.
That's what I do here. I mean, look at that. Hey, maybe we know something. We're still not told anything.
That drop in knowledge is a new segment. Yeah, but it's...
We're not riffing here. This isn't the improv here, Smitty.
Yeah, but and that's, you just don't shut out a team that has Crosby and Malkin too many times. So for the Hurricanes to go into that building where the Penguins were, I believe, 12-6-1 at home coming into that game, and to put that type of performance on was great. And that's why I think the Boston loss was so disheartening, because you have this game that's the prototypical Hurricanes game, the tight defensively, and when they have opportunities offensively, they take advantage of them. And then, of course, the Boston game happens. Games that stand out for me, opening night here against the Minnesota Wild, that was a thrilling game, I think, for everyone involved. It's nice to start the season off with a win like that, especially at home. Then you mentioned it, the Vegas win was really the one that turned this recent month around. You look before that, the Hurricanes had not won on that road trip. So without that Vegas win, you might be looking at a team that's still struggling to find its confidence. But that really springboarded them to, I think, where they are now. They've been on pretty much of a tear ever since. Again, you hope that the Toronto game and the Boston game are nothing more than speed bumps. A little concerning speed bumps to be, you know, outscored as much as they were. But we've talked about it before. It's all about the response, and the Hurricanes are going to have to do that this week, again, in two very difficult buildings to play in Tampa Bay and in Washington. Tampa Bay's only lost three games in regulation at home this season, and Washington is 17-5-0 at home this season. So those are tough buildings to go in and grab 2 points from. So the Hurricanes have a stiff test ahead of them. At the end of the day, you just want to see them respond from what looked to be a mostly emotionless game in Boston on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, that, I think, is one of the things that we can go back to, Michael, and positively say there is a blueprint off of this, because the Hurricanes had that kind of game in Toronto where they lost 8-1, and then they came back and beat Nashville, who I think might be the best team in the Western Conference. I haven't gotten a real strong look at the rest of the Pacific. Yes, we've seen LA and we've seen Vegas, and Vegas's record doesn't lie. That's no fluke, kids, with what they've been able to do.
Yep.
But here on the Canes cast, just looking at what we can take out of certain things or try to read the tea leaves, the Canes had a performance in Toronto where I'm like, oh boy, this could be a hangover, and you got to go in and take on a team like Nashville, who's probably licking their chops waiting for this. It's the same setup for Tampa. I expect the Hurricanes to come out with a really strong performance against the Lightning, because they have to. And it's everything that we've just kind of chronicled already, especially when you're playing the top teams, there's a sense of pride that every athlete has. They don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want those performances. So I expect the Hurricanes to come out and have a better result against Tampa Bay. I'm not doing the Mark Messier guaranteeing a win or anything like that, but I expect a much better performance out of this Hurricanes hockey club when they take on Tampa Bay, which will be Tuesday night or tonight, or maybe it already happened, depending on when you're listening to the Canes cast here.
Yes, that's the beauty of a podcast. This stuff gets old quickly.
Oh, I was waiting for you to describe even more.
No,
okay.
That's it. Let's go on.
When in Rome?
Go on. Let's run down the injuries real quick, because we touched on Sebastian Aho, yeah. who at the end of the first period, a really awkward sort of situation along the boards where he looked to get tangled up.
He said that the defenseman's knee hit his feet, and then he goes into the boards awkwardly from it.
It looked bad.
I didn't have – here's the tough part. I didn't have a good angle on it where I was in Boston, but when I saw the replays of it going back and forth, it did not look like this was an injury that he'd bounce back and be at practice 2 days later from. So that's, for me, an encouraging sign.
Yeah, I didn't have a good look at it either. And up on Press Row, we usually have a look at the home team's telecast, and I don't think the Bruins ever showed, you know, exactly what happened to him. They might not have even known it, that it happened. So, yeah, I didn't get a good look at it. I only saw in replays, and when you slow it down, it didn't look good. But extremely good news to see him at practice today. Yep. He was a full participant, skated on a line with Jordan Staal and Teuvo Teravainen, so that's unchanged. That usually bodes well, you know, for upcoming games as an indicator of whether, you know, he's going to play or not. But as we mentioned, Bill Peters saying he got mixed reviews after practice on the way he was feeling. I think the big test is going to be how he wakes up on Tuesday feeling. Then if he can take part in the morning skate and feel fine from that. The Hurricanes are going to need him in the lineup. I mean, I believe he's the team leading scorer at this point.
He is.
And so if the Hurricanes lose just a dynamic player like him, even for a game in Tampa Bay, it's going to be tough. But the good news is that he was at practice today. Also at practice, Lucas Walmark, who has missed a couple games with a lower body injury, he took a skate to the
man area, I'll say it.
Yes.
By the way, Aho tied for points with Teuvo Teravainen.
There you go.
33 apiece.
Walmark was not cut, according to Bill Peters, with the skate. He just took the skate square.
It was a bruise. It was tough. Anybody who's ever watched baseball, it's a catcher's injury, and we'll just move on from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Good way to be delicate describing that right there.
So he skated today, which was the first time that he's been on the ice with the team since that injury. And Lee Stepniak continues to practice with the team, working his way back from an upper body injury, separate from the first upper body injury he had earlier this season.
Well, the one that he suffered in Charlotte, but different from, as I remember, going all the way back to the season. Remember we asked Bill Peters about this, and the question to Bill Peters was, what's the injury? And started off upper body, moved its way down to the middle body, then became a lower body. Now it's just whatever. But Lee Stepniak looks to be coming back, you know, and I don't think there will be a rehab assignment in Charlotte.
Yeah, the first one didn't go so well. So
yeah, and let me go back to the Sebastian Aho injury, because we talked to him after practice, and he was asked, you know, did you know immediately? And he's like, well, no. But when asked how is he feeling and able to skate after practice, he said he felt all right. But again, that's a waiting game, because whenever you're dealing with a lower body injury, you know, sometimes the adrenaline gets you going to get back on the ice. You got to wait and see, is there any swelling? And again, I'm playing doctor on radio, so we'll leave that out there, or on podcast or on the internet, whatever we're doing. In this situation, when I say there could be swelling or whatever, I don't know, because I don't know if it was an ankle, a knee, a shin. I mean, you watched the playoffs yesterday. There was a guy who it looked like it was a knee injury, and they said it was a shin. So there's certain things that you take a step back on, Michael Smith. The good thing was Sebastian Aho was standing. He was walking fine. He skated fine. Now it's just a touch-and-go thing with the doctors. And with Sebastian Aho, I would err on the side of caution, because, yes, you want him in the lineup against Tampa Bay, but I would take, if the doctors say maybe it's better to rest him, I would take Sebastian Aho playing 81 games this year than going against Tampa, and maybe it's not where it should be, and then, you know, he plays less than that amount. So we'll see. But he looked fine today. He gave all the right answers, like he wants to play and he's good to go. But ultimately, as the head coach told us after practice, it's up to the doctors and what the reports are, and he'll be a game time decision up to 7:30 tomorrow night, tonight, or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to Canes Cast episode 24.
Exactly.
Halfway home.
So, Lucas Walmark, not sure what the Hurricanes are going to do with him when he gets back to full health. He might be sent back down to Charlotte.
I think they'd have
to
send him down to Charlotte because he was called up for Marcus Kruger.
And Marcus Kruger returned to the lineup on Saturday night in Boston after suffering a lower body injury in practice just before the new year.
Yeah.
And Lee Stepniak. It's going to be interesting to see what the Hurricanes do with Lee Stepniak once he returns, because I have to think that Bill Peters is going to want to look at Skinner, Ryan, Stepniak as a line, because that was a line that was so effective a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, it'll get a look, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure when he draws in. And then the question is, who comes out of the lineup,
right,
if he comes in? And you could kind of read into this. Maybe it would be Josh Juris, Phil DiGiuseppe, and Brock McGinn would bump down to that line centered by Marcus Kruger, which had been an effective energy line of Kruger, McGinn, and Joakim Nordstrom.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd probably see that again. So that would be my guess if we're going to look into how that would look moving forward.
Yeah, and having Stepniak back too, something Bill Peters touched on today, looking to improve in the second half, the specialty teams.
He'd help the power play.
Exactly. Having Stepniak back for one of the power play units might help sort of revitalize the power play. Bill Peters saying, you know, they just need to get better in both areas, power play, penalty kill. You look at the other night in Boston, a game in which the Hurricanes gave up a shorthanded goal on what was the Bruins' first shot of the game. And then Scott Darling comes in the game, and the Hurricanes give up another shorthanded breakaway, which he makes the save, and then the Hurricanes go down and score a power play goal. But the fact that you're giving up two shorthanded breaks in the first 5 minutes of the game is kind of concerning. Need to tighten that up just a bit. So those are two things the Hurricanes are going to be looking to improve upon in the second half. They'd like to climb those standings a little in terms of where they rank with power play and penalty kill, because you need those to be a difference on a nightly basis. Usually, if you win the special teams battle, you're going to end up winning the game. So that's something to keep an eye on in the second half for the Hurricanes looking to improve, as Bill Peters mentioned today. What else would you like to see when you look ahead to the next 41 games, the last 41 games of the 2017-18
regular season? Yes, say regular season.
Exactly. What else would you like to see from this Hurricanes club? What else is this club going to need if they are then going to play in to late April?
I'm going to go with the power play has to pick up. Let's just be more consistent. I'm not saying it's got to be 2-for-4 every night, but be a threat. And when you get a golden opportunity and a chance to put a team away, when you're up 2-1 and they give you a power play in the second or in the third, find a way to bury it. I'd like to see that. I know that this is not a – I'm not trying to go down a road that we don't need, but you need two goaltenders to win in this league, and you need consistency from both of them. And we've seen in the past that Cam Ward can have these stretches, but, you know, you get to a point of you can't play him every single night. You've got to get some more consistency from Scott Darling. So I would love to see that. I would love to see what we saw a little bit earlier, like in November and then December. It doesn't matter who you put in the nets. The Canes have a really good chance of winning based on how these guys were playing. I would also like to see the defensemen get more active on the offensive side of the puck. I mean, the Canes have guys who are capable of doing it. I would like to see Justin Falk light the lamp a little bit more. Yeah. He would love to see that. I like Noah Hanifin's game this year. I want to continue to see that trend in the upwards direction that we've seen. And then, you know, Brett Pesce and Jacob Slavin have sneaky offense to their game. And I think with Slavin, we've seen a little bit more of it. But I'd like to see a little bit more out of those guys. And if you do that, that's what's going to get this team playing into late April.
Yeah, I think the Hurricanes are going to need a big second half from Justin Falk, both offensively and defensively. I think they've struggled to find a consistent defensive pairing partner for him all season. It's been Hayden Fleury for a lot of the season, but today in practice it was Klaas Dahlbeck, who had a good stretch there for about a week when he was in the lineup of bringing a physical element. Maybe he gets back in tomorrow night in Tampa Bay. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
You know, at the morning skate and then at warm-ups.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
I want to see a little bit more of that, too, the physical element of this team.
Yeah.
Because that Florida Panther game here at PNC Arena, that was a really good game. And the crowd who was here, they were into it, and it wasn't that it was a 6-5 shootout. That's a 3-2 hockey game where you saw the Hurricanes be engaged physically. I think when they're engaged in a game physically, and that doesn't mean dropping the gloves and fights, although there were in that game. I'm not going back to old-time hockey putting on the foil. But when this team is engaged physically and out-hits the opponent, I would love to see the record when the Canes out-hit their opponent this year. Although hits is a weird stat. It depends on what building you're in. But
it's a weird stat, too, because if you're possessing the puck a lot like the Hurricanes do, you're not necessarily making hits. So sometimes that can be skewed a different
way. Yeah, exactly. So just see a little bit more of that. Sorry that I cut you off, but no, that's one of the things I'd like to see.
I think really the thing that we're hitting on most often here is consistency. Consistency. All around the lineup. You look at the 3-2 loss in St. Louis on December 30th. It was kind of a slow start. The Hurricanes didn't have everyone going, but they eventually, I think, found their game a bit. And ultimately, you drop a one-goal decision to a very good Western Conference team on the road on the second half of a back-to-back.
Yep.
Taking that loss in itself, I don't think there's anything to look back and really shake your head at.
No.
But then to go to Boston after shutting out the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-0 and lose 7-1, it's kind of discouraging. And so I think in the second half, what I would like to see more out of the Hurricanes is just consistency. You know, if you're going to go on the road and drop a game, which is going to happen, it's going to happen in the second half. So just prepare yourselves now. I just want to see the same effort out of the guys that I think we've accustomed to seeing under head coach Bill Peters. Try to avoid those clunkers, those 8-1 defeats in Toronto, the 7-1 defeats in Boston. Understand that those can happen throughout the course of an 82-game season, and the important thing is how you respond. But every night, try to put forth the same effort, the same consistent effort. And I think if you do that, the Hurricanes are going to be successful more often than not. And, you know, come April, whatever it is, April 9th maybe, is the final game of the season. Maybe you see the Hurricanes April 7th, excuse me. Maybe you see the Hurricanes logo above the cut line. I know the fans, the players, the coaching staff, everyone who's been working towards breaking the drought would love to see that happen.
Yeah, I think absolutely. All right, time for the podcast where we get into...
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
You never have one
no,
of those
I have
questions
one.
Ready? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I almost... Go
I
ahead.
Might steal yours, but I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there because we mentioned it early on in the podcast... and the announcement is going to be made on Wednesday. So if you're listening to this before Wednesday, this is when we debate who's going to be the Hurricanes All-Star. So I'll put this out there. Sebastian Aho is going to be the Carolina Hurricanes All-Star representative.
I'm going to take it. Okay. I think so. In that format, I want to see him play. I think that you also take a look at when you're not voted in, the players whose games are peaking right now at the All-Star. He's a good, exciting young player. He's a player the league can really get behind. I know that some folks would like to say, oh, they want the guys who can do the talking and all that. I think he'd be perfect. It'd be a great stage to put him on. I would like to see Sebastian Aho get there. I think he deserves it. I'm taking it.
For the sake of debate, I'm going to say it's going to be Noah Hanifin. Because I think the Hurricanes
I don't have an issue with that. The Metro is loaded with forwards.
Right.
We understand
In a division with Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin,
Claude Giroux,
Hall.
Wayne Simmons, Taylor Hall.
I mean, you could go down the list. Yeah. I think this is the year the Hurricanes do break through with a forward, and I believe it'll be Sebastian Aho. But if it has to be a defenseman, I think it's going to be Noah Hanifin. I think he's obviously the team leader, defensive team leader in points. I think he would thrive in the 3-on-3 environment. If you're looking for a defenseman who's going to make that sort of game atmosphere fun, it's going to be Noah Hanifin, who obviously can. We've seen how well he can skate, and we've seen an offensive dimension from him this year that we haven't really seen in years past. We haven't seen fully fleshed out, I guess I should say. I think he would be a perfect representative for the Hurricanes if you're looking at defense, but I do believe it's probably going to be the NHL would make the right decision if it was Sebastian Aho.
Well, I don't have a problem with it being Noah Hanifin either, though. You know, here's a 20-year-old defenseman who is excellent moving the puck. That'd be a good stage for him. High draft pick, and he's played well this year. You know, the numbers kind of bear that out with what he's been able to do. He's leading the blue line. He's got 21 points, 7 goals, and 14 assists. So, yes, stacked Metro Division, and the Canes have these good young defensemen, and the league likes to showcase that, but I think that would be a good showcase for Sebastian Aho as well.
How's this for breaking news on the podcast? It might not be breaking by the time you listen to this, but Lee Stepniak has been activated from injured reserve.
All right.
Lucas Walmark has been reassigned to the Charlotte Checkers. So that whole discussion that we had about 10 minutes ago is pretty much moot at this point.
There you go. On the fly, semi-live, plausibly live podcast.
This
news.
Is what happens when you listen to Canescast, is you get scintillating discussion and occasionally breaking news.
And it's why you have to listen to the entirety of the Canescast. Here, episode 24.
So again,
halfway home.
We'll, you know, we'll go back and reassess what this means to the Hurricanes lineup. Obviously, you mentioned before Lucas Walmark would likely be reassigned. You know, once he healed up from his injury, seems like he's healed up. And Lee Stepniak, potentially ready to re-enter the lineup at some point in the near future.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you throw him back in the lineup against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, maybe give him another day on the ice just to make sure he feels ready. The Hurricanes, obviously, too, we should mention, have a back-to-back against the Washington Capitals coming up. They've been known to use their depth in
yes.
these situations this year, both in goal and with their skaters. So perhaps that's a situation where he gets in one of those two games,
or
both of them.
I think that might be a little bit more likely, which leads to my, if you like it, take it.
Or if not, send it right back.
I love Holman Holmes, like traditional Holman Holmes with a team, especially within the division, because I know people can say, well, we just saw that game the other night, but this leads to rivalries. This leads to drama. It leads to excitement. Imagine down the stretch if the Hurricanes are fighting for a playoff spot with the Pittsburgh Penguins or the New York Islanders or the Rangers, and they have a home and home. You know, first game's here at PNC, next game's on the road, whatever you want. It becomes a mini playoff series, Michael, to get into the postseason. Now, not everybody likes home and home, and I get it. There's lots of reasons why, because, oh, well, we just saw that team, and sometimes we want to see something different. But I love old school home and homes. We play in your building on Thursday. You come to our building on Friday. Or we play there Friday. You play our place Saturday. I like it, and the Canes are going to get that. It's not a Friday-Saturday, but a Thursday-Friday with the Washington Capitals. I like home and homes against opponents, especially when they're divisional foes.
Yeah, I'm going to take that as well. I think especially against the Washington Capitals, a team who you saw the Hurricanes play, a very high-end game against
yep.
here at PNC Arena not too long ago when Alex Ovechkin kind of took over in the third period in overtime. Those are going to be two very good games. Another point about that, too, is you get these divisional rivalries sort of built up, and now you have a playoff structure in which it's focused on divisional play, at least in the first couple of rounds. So, you know, perhaps a preview of a playoff match to come with Washington and Carolina or Tampa Bay and Carolina.
Yeah.
So this week is big. I like the home and homes. They're probably my favorite types of back-to-backs. Back-to-backs, when you have two straight games at home against different opponents, just kind of feels weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that structure, but it just feels kind of weird. And then when you're playing one team one night, flying somewhere, and playing another team the other night, it's sort of, I feel like the competitive, it's a little bit imbalanced
yeah.
from a competition standpoint, unless, of course, you know, the other team is playing the night before as well. But here, everything's about equal.
Yep.
You're both playing each other the night before. You're both traveling to the airport, flying to the same airport,
yep.
and then playing the next night. So it's about as even and exciting, I think, as back-to-backs go.
Yeah, I'm a fan. And maybe it's because I grew up with it. The old Adams division used to have awesome home and homes. And we can ask Chuck Cate.
Proud Noise only.
Wow.
Thank you. About such things, when did that happen and what goes on, but I just love them. I've always loved back-to-backs, and we'll get in there. We have some questions to get to before we wrap up this edition of the podcast. Via the old Twitter machine, we asked you if you had questions for the Canescast. We'll answer this one from Ben Swain from Ben and Durham. Are we good now? Did you guys get it all out of your system in Boston? I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's a yes-no question. I'm going to go, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they did. And I'm going to go with history, by the way. We'll give you a little bit more elaborate answer. History shown us that the Canes can flush a game like this when faced with playing a top team in a conference for the very next game. This one from Envision Communications.
Wow.
It's a weird name
for
it.
Is that a brand?
Yeah,
do we get asked a question by a brand?
What's the worst U.S. road city? What's the best and why? And then there's another part to this one.
Ooh. Well, okay, let's tackle this this first part first.
I'll say it. St. Louis.
As the worst?
Yeah.
You might have an argument.
It's cold. It's flat. We go there in the wintertime. Like, if we went there around springtime and baseball was there, or maybe the fall and there's baseball, but...
But it does have one of my favorite restaurants on the road.
Which, it's part two of this question we'll get into.
That's true.
All right. The best U.S. road city. Whew.
New York?
New York's good. Boston is very good.
Yeah, Boston's good. Except I don't like being there when it's so cold. It was really cold.
I mean,
it's winter.
I like Vegas as a city to begin with to visit.
That's true.
To visit. And they didn't disappoint. It was a great game atmosphere. We had good weather. I like Vegas. I know that it was really your first time there in Chicago.
Chicago also good. I mean, we've talked about this before. There are a number of great spots. I mean, there's a reason why these cities have professional
sports. Let's go with number one. Shall we unveil number one? Because we kind of asked this before. Nashville.
Oh, yeah. Well, how could we forget about Nashville?
Well, we didn't, because it's now being brought up right now.
It's the Vegas of the East.
As the Tragically Hip one sang, it can't be Nashville every night, but sometimes you wish it was.
Yeah.
And then other times you thank God it isn't. The follow-up question, does M. Smith Canes have a sandwich shop recommendation for Pittsburgh? I'll be there on Sunday. They're going to hang up and listen. Thanks
so,
for the call.
Obviously, Permane Brothers is the answer here. I've never had it.
No, it's not the answer.
I've never had it.
It's not the answer. Go, if you've never had it, you can't give it as the answer. Go, look, if it's, I get it's an institution.
I think if you've.
I went there, I've had it.
Yeah.
And they put French fries and coleslaw on the sandwich, and that's their deal. And sometimes they stuff the sandwiches big, sometimes they don't. I mean, I think there are other places where you can go and get a really, really good sandwich, especially on the road. Although we could recommend there's a couple of spots. Meat and Potatoes, which is not a sandwich shop, but a really good restaurant.
But they do serve sandwiches.
They do serve sandwiches. They do. So I would recommend that if you can get in. You can usually get in, walk in. It's right there, I think, on Penn, William Penn Street. Or
is that
Penn.
It? Or there's a street right over near the river. This is very, you know, because they're...
In depth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Yep.
But Meat and Potatoes, and it's M-E-A-T, so you'll find it. And this from a coworker. Saw you guys signed a ton of autographs at Skate with the Canes. Have you ever been asked to sign an odd item? What was it? I've been asked to sign a body part.
Where?
Like...
Not where body part, but where were you asked to sign a body part?
I think it was at a Canes corner.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep. Yeah,
I've never been asked to sign that, and I didn't sign any autographs yesterday.
You should have.
I was day-to-day with...
The Panther flu.
Yeah.
You keep your fans wanting more.
And I'm still dated. I'm going to be day-to-day with the Panther flu for about the next 5 months.
Just let it go. They got in the playoffs.
Yep.
Just let it go.
Yeah, sports.
Could be a Vikings fan like me.
Nope.
And just be excited for everything. But you already know what the outcome is.
Sport. I think we would be much happier without sports. But then we wouldn't have jobs.
Seriously, you threw out Permane Brothers without ever eating there. You're trying to take away our jobs.
I'm just.
Our pets' heads keep falling off.
It's just very disappointing.
They had a chance. They could have been blown out. They made it a game.
Yeah.
They gave you a chance to be excited.
Yeah, they did. It was. I went in not expecting much. Pleasantly surprised with what I saw. Had a chance to win it and didn't. So
all right.
That's that.
All right. I'm going to do this right now. A little therapy for Michael Smith, but everybody listen up. Sports is supposed to let us enjoy certain things in our life. And we love the fans and the diehard fans and everybody who tunes into the Canes cast, episode 24. Let's cheer up Michael Smith. That's what it's now going to be called because we appreciate it. And please rank us high on.
Yeah, 5 stars only.
On iTunes and Google Play. Not 5 stars only. 4 stars, we're still very good friends. 3 stars, we're still going out to lunch.
Well, we
two might. 2 stars, that's you're just being
Yeah.
Hurtful.
And one star, we're never going to talk
to. Well, one star, you're just, come on now. If you listen to this, you got to know how good
we're
this is.
We're at least three star worthy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's our tagline. We're at least three star worthy.
But look, I hosted a post-game show for a decade of taking calls after a game when things genuinely didn't go right. I hosted a sports talk show for about 20 years in some way, shape, or form, from weekends to full-time to drive time to morning, you name it. You've done it. I've done it. Folks, you want your team to do well and be happy when they do well. But when your team loses, I understand the angst, the anger to it, but somewhere, a season of we won 10 games, we went to the playoffs, that's a good season, has turned into this is garbage. This is trash. What? Fire everyone. You went to the playoffs. You could be the Cleveland Browns. You could be the Arizona Coyotes right now. And I'm just saying, just enjoy it. Just enjoy the ride. And when it's good, allow it to be happy. When your team loses, and I'm looking right at Michael Smith right now, when your team loses, they lost a playoff game. It stinks. But you know what? They were on the road. It was a tough game, and they covered.
No.
All comes back to Vegas at some point for me.
Sports does build a community.
It does. Think of how many Panther fans you talked with today who are kind of feeling the exact same way as you. Yeah. People you wouldn't talk to.
It's lovely. It serves as a sort of a break from the real world.
Yeah. The people who talked to us through this, all the great folks from Skate with the Canes. How many folks showed up yesterday? 1,000, I think over 1,000 people, maybe more, showed up at Skate with the Canes the day after the Canes didn't have their best outing of the year, and everybody was positive and supportive. That's what it should be, folks.
That's what sports is. Wow, you just made everything better.
That's what I do. That's what I do. I'm not even going to say goodbye. I'm just going to say that is the Web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco. We'll talk to you guys next week before the bye week. He's dropping the mic. Bye-bye.
Thank you.